Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, each and every one. It's such a blessing to come together in the name of the Lord and to praise his name, to bless him, and to fellowship in the word of God. Amen. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners and visitors. We are a Christian internet church and a local assembly in Jesus' name. And we thank the Lord for you, and regardless to how you found us, whether it was on YouTube or however, if you had a personal invitation, we welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As those of you know who join us every Sunday, we begin with Holy Communion. And therefore, we're going to pray our opening prayer, and we're going to do some repenting of where we are versus where we should be in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's begin. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For this day has never come before, nor will it ever return to us. But we thank you, Lord, that you were kind and gracious, and that you have not taken us all off the planet at once. We thank you, Lord, that you have left us here to have an opportunity to witness to your greatness, your glory, your power, your love, and your strength. You've left us here, Lord, that we might continue our journey in being changed into the image of Jesus Christ. You've left us here to be your hands, your feet, your arms, your eyes, and to show your love, the love that is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit to all those who are in need. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that those of us that are in the body of Christ, that we have joined you in the ministry of reconciliation, Lord. We desire to see men, women, boys, and girls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to continue their relationship with him in righteousness. We give you praise. We give you glory, and we take the territory in the name of Jesus Christ. And from our position, seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we bind Satan, the strong man, and all of his underlings. We close the portals in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We close every open door, every demonic open door in Jesus' name, and we open our hearts wide to Jesus Christ. We bind all witchcraft attacks, all technology attacks, all retaliation of the enemy. We bind the pride of our own opinions. We bind the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We bind rebellion and confusion and distractions, the passive mind. We bind Morgellons attacks, mammon, the transference of evil spirits, all oppression and depression, death and destruction. All technology attacks, all trafficking demons, and all retaliation of the enemy. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and his blood atonement. And we thank you, Lord, for your mercy in our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over everyone and over the airways in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the wall of fire that surrounds us from Zechariah 2 and 5 and your glory in the midst. We thank you for the warring, linking angels that surround us and the praising angels. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for all who are in authority and for all true Christians. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive us. You will stretch forth your hand against the wrath of our enemies, and your right hand shall save us. We take authority, dominion, and power and cut ourselves free from all ungodly silver cords, ley lines, soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, consents, garlands, vows, pledges, pacts, and all other form of agreement with the demonic realm. We come out of agreement with Satan and his demons, and we come into agreement with our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. We break down and all walls of protection around the demonic realm in Jesus' name. We break the power of every curse, hex, vex, spell, charm, fetish, all psychic prayers, all witchcraft, sorcery, magic, and voodoo, all mind control jinxes, all potions and bewitchments, and all other forms of witchcraft in Jesus' name. We thank you and we give you praise, Father, that you have given us in your word, through the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We wear the armor of God as you command us to from Ephesians, Father, in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. Now is the time, Lord, where we come before you And we ask forgiveness, Lord. We ask forgiveness for the sins that we have committed and for the sins of our ancestors that we repeat in our lives. We come before you, Father, with godly sorrow, knowing that these things do offend you and that for them Jesus Christ had to die. He was the sinless Lamb of God, and because of our sin, Jesus Christ gave his life. His blood was shed to wash away our sin, not his own. So, Father, we come before you now, confessing our sins, our problems, our faults, sins of commission that we have actually committed, sins of omission, sins of faithlessness and doubt and distrust of you, sins that are against the Holy Scriptures in Jesus' name. And we ask you, Father, to forgive us. We ask for your correction in our lives. We ask, Father, that you show us the right way and establish our goings, that we might live our lives pleasing to you, that we might live our lives for you to receive the glory, that we might live our lives that men, women, boys, and girls can see Jesus Christ living in us. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Partake of the cup. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord." Yes, the Lord does correct his people. "That we should not be condemned with the world." Let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yes, it's quite warm in here today. Amen. Praise God. Now, saints, we want to thank everyone that gave in the offering. If you're on your computer or on your cellular device, we invite you to www.miracleinternetchurch.com, and we ask that you open two windows, one for the MIC radio chat and the second window of www.miracleinternetchurch.com for Blog Talk sermons, Blog Talk archive sermons, and scroll down to today's sermon and click the button, and you may listen through your computer. Amen. We're going to continue on in our prayer meeting. We want to bless the offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the offering. We thank you for those that were able to give, those that desired to give, and those that gave, Father. We ask, Lord, that you encourage those who desire to give but did not have and comfort them. We ask you, Lord, those who just didn't want to give, that you encourage them to obey the word. And those that gave, Lord, we ask that you bless them too. We thank you, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this offering, and we thank you that it will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up President Trump and his family before you. They are in grief at the moment, Lord, because they've lost a family member. But we ask you, Lord, to be with them, for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to comfort them in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a heartbreaking thing, Lord, when our relatives, our close family members, leave us to go be with you, or if they just leave us. Lord, we ask that you comfort them, that you remind them of the wonderful times that they had with that person. We ask you, Lord, that the memory of that person be a blessing to them in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you encourage them, that you strengthen them, that you use this opportunity, Father, to touch them with your word. We pray for President Trump and for all of his decisions. And we take authority, dominion, and power over every witchcraft attack coming against him in the name of Jesus Christ. We return the attack wherever it came from according to the covenant in Jesus' holy name. We thank you, Lord. The Bible says that one of us shall put 1,000 to flight, but two of us put a legion, 10,000 to flight in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that the enemy's been put to flight in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We lift up to you those that are supporters of the president and this administration, Lord. Though they have come under deep attack, Lord, the enemy has lashed out against them, Lord. Father, we ask that you strengthen them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who has contributed to the campaign in any way, whether financially, whether with physical support, whether with prayer support. However, Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we ask you to bless them. We ask you to show them what they ought to do and what you would have them to do, Father, in Jesus' name. And we take authority, dominion, and power over the spirit of communism that is attempting to override this company, country, and put out the light of Christianity in Jesus' name. We bind its influence, we bind its furtherance in the name of Jesus Christ, and we say, no further, Satan, can you go in Jesus' name. We tear down your strongholds, we tear down your sacrifices, we tear down the witchcraft that you use, the power that you use supernaturally and illegally. We take it from you and we transfer it back to Jesus Christ, because all power belongs to God in Jesus' name. We thank you that you will not win, you will not make it, because you cannot overcome us, because the overcomer himself lives within us. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We give you praise, glory, and honor, Father. We pray for the true Christians in this nation, that they will become and remain true to their Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. God is waiting for us to line up because he wants to hear from heaven. He's waiting to hear from his people who have put away their sin, who have put away their doubt, fear, and unbelief, and who are standing stalwart in his word and in his spirit. God is waiting. Let us not keep him waiting forever in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for those who straddle the fence between unbelief and full belief in Jesus Christ that leads to scriptural salvation. We lift them up to you, Father. We ask that you remove the blinders so that they can begin to see. The Bible says that if our gospel be hid, it's him hid to those that are lost. So we ask you, Father, to lead the lost and the blind in a manner and in a way that they have not known before, and bring them into the true faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not into the phony gospels or the apostate church, but into the true church, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for all those who contend for the faith as it was once delivered to the saints. We pray, Father, for those in need of godly sorrow and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to submit themselves to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are to submit ourselves to you, Lord. Resist the devil and he will flee. But first must come the submission. First must come the yielding. First must come to giving ourselves to the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that the flesh man, the self man, was crucified on Calvary, and that we live our lives as Christians unto you. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to thy name be the glory. We pray, Father, for our financial request of the pastor from the Lord, and the pastor is thanking you for it right now in Jesus' name. We also lift up to you, Lord, all who are your people, who are Christians, who desire and are able to work, that are have not been able to find the employment that you have for them, Lord. We ask that you direct them to it this week in Jesus' name. Give them the information that they need. Release the blessing into their hands. We thank you and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. We're lifting up to you small businesses, Father, that you planted in this nation that are going under because of the pandemic. We ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to release strength to them, release encouragement to them, release power and anointing to them, Father. Lift them up during this time of dearth in our nation, Father. Revive them that they go not under but remain strong, Father, in Jesus' name. We ask that you unite them in your spirit, Father, because you planted these businesses in our nation. You determined their outcome, Father. Their enterprise is unto you. And we come in agreement with their prayers, Father. They're crying out to you. And we ask you, Lord, to hear their prayer and answer speedily in Jesus' mighty name. We're praying, Father, for the upbuilding of the local church as you would have it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. The Bible says that you add to our number, Lord, as many as the Lord our God called and saved. And we thank you for the additions to our numbers in Jesus' name. We are thanking you, Lord, for each person who has joined us on a regular basis in faith in Jesus' name. We're praying for all who are attacked with the coronavirus to be delivered and healed in the name of Jesus, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for them to be healed. He took it in his stripes. The Bible says, by his stripes, we have been healed. So, Father, we thank you, and we call on that sacrifice that Jesus gave so willingly on the cross, that men, women, boys, and girls may realize that you are the Lord our God who heals us. We thank you for your healing and deliverance, and especially for your children, because healing and deliverance is the children's bread. We're thanking you, Father, for those that you are presently adding to the ministry and for their deliverances in Jesus' name. And everyone said one more thing. And, Father, we lift up to you all the prayer requests that are in the global prayer room right now, every prayer request that's been placed there, Father. We thank you for them. We thank you for the circumstances that have happened in their lives to draw them closer to you. And we ask, Father, that you answer every prayer according to your will, your purpose, your plan, and your timing. The Bible says that you have given us Jesus Christ, and with him you will freely give us all things. Some of us need knowledge. Some of us need wisdom. Some of us need patience. Some of us need strength and endurance. Some of us need all kinds of things, Father. But whatever the need, according to Philippians 4:19, you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. You say in Psalm 23 that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. So we come into agreement with your word, Lord. You said that we have been old and young, but you've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. We come into agreement with your word, Father, and we stand on your word, and we thank you and we give you praise for the answer now. We receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today, saints, we're going to have a little chat. Yes, we're going to have a little chat in the Word of God. And if you have your King James Version of the Bible handy, you will need it, and you'll need some notepaper and an ink pen, because there's much to write. God has some words for us today. Amen? We're going to talk about this subject. If the Lord be God, follow him. If the Lord be God, follow him. When believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and his works cease to move forward with him, they slide backward. It is quite simple. There cannot be a place with no movement at all. Either we are moving forward with Jesus Christ, or we are moving away from him and backsliding. Either we are choosing him and his ways moment for moment, or else we have strayed away from him. We are either listening to his voice and obeying him, or we are hearing other voices and are now in confusion. God is not the author of confusion. His sheepfold know his voice, and they are continually following him. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways." Doesn't say he's going to be filled with God's ways. He's going to be filled with his own ways. And that's probably how he got backslid to begin with. Amen? Amen. Having your own way. My, most of us seem to like that idea. Having your own way. A good recipe for idolatry. That's what that is. Doing your own thing. A principal ingredient for failure in God's kingdom. Getting what you want, the way you want it, when you want it, is pride and sin, worthy of death. Yes, worthy of death. Let's go to Romans 6:23, the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin, you see, you work at sin. It doesn't just pop up. You put some effort into it. And you get repaid by wages. However, the wages of sin are death. Yes, it costs you to sin. You have serious separation from God. Sin is deserving of death. We tend to forget that at times. We forget that Jesus Christ died for us because we deserve to die for our own sin. Jesus Christ was the sinless Lamb of God, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in him. Amen? He was the sinless Lamb of God who did no sin, neither was deceit found in him. Not so with us. We have been stiff-necked and rebellious against the Lord. We, by our actions, have corrupted ourselves and decided in favor of the evil passions of our flesh or self-nature and against the righteousness of God Almighty. How evil and wicked we have become. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not wicked. Well, every decision that you enter into, where you do not consider the word of God, you did not consider the intent or purpose of God, you did not consider the moral consequences, you entered into wickedness, because that's what wicked people do. They make choices and decisions without considering God's point of view and what he has said in his word. Amen? then we behave as though we're making the righteous choice and following through to obedience is the most difficult task that we have ever attempted. We act like living for Jesus is really, really hard. You act like you sweat every time the word fast is mentioned. You break into a sweat like, I don't know if I can do that. Of course you can. Of course you can fast. Please don't ask the Lord to let you off of that, because he said when he went back that his believers would do this. So that means he fully intended for us to fast and pray. Amen? It's not optional. It's part of what a Christian does in honor of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, saints, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to start at verse 13. God wants us to know this. There has no temptation, no trial, no adversity, no experience taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Nothing's going to happen that you and God cannot handle together. That should give you some assurance. Amen? But will, with that temptation, with that trial, with that adversity, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Run. Flee means to run away or to escape from danger and avoid evil. God is saying to run away from crowning yourself as king on any day and run as fast as you can from insisting on doing it all your way. Flee idolatry. God is saying to run away from crowning yourself as king on any day and run as fast as you can from insisting on doing it all your way. Flee idolatry. Amen? We need to come to a full realization of who is really God. Is it the Lord God as revealed in the scriptures of the King James Version of the Bible? Or is God the God of your understanding? Or is God your own selfish desires in disguise? Just who is God to you? Who is your God, really? No one can answer that question but you. If you have determined that the Lord God, as revealed in the scriptures of the King James Bible, is the God that you have chosen, then follow him. If he's the one you have decided upon, then follow him and give it your all. Don't half-heartedly follow him. Don't follow him when it's convenient. Don't follow him when it's just sunshining and not when it rains. If he's your God, then follow him all the time. Every day of the week, every minute, every moment. Give him all of you. You can't straddle the fence. You just heard us praying for people that are straddling the fence, as we call it. They've got one foot in the world, and they're still trying to have one foot in the church. Well, you can't do that. It's mighty uncomfortable and chafing. You have to make a decision at some point. You have to determine who's going to run your life. Who was it? Somebody did a song. You're going to serve somebody. Whether it be the devil or it be the Lord, you're going to serve somebody. Well, you need to decide who that somebody's going to be. And if you have determined that that somebody is the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, judge of all men, God of all flesh, that sent his son to the cross to die for our sins and raised him on the third day, and he's sitting at the right hand of God to judge the alive and the dead, if he's the one, then you need to give him your all. You need to be committed to him. You need to stop flaking off on him. Because after all, he died for you. And he is worthy. He is deserving of your faithfulness and commitment. Amen? He's worthy of your faithfulness and commitment. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings. Chapter 18, and we're going to verse 21. Just verse 21. I think, yes, this is where I want to be. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye, or how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, if the devil, you just heard us buying this one, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. Now let's go over to the book of John, the Gospel of John in the New Testament. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 65. And he said, Jesus speaking, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My question is, do you believe that and are you sure? Do you believe that and are you sure? You need to answer that question because Jesus wants to hear an answer from you. Amen? Jesus wants an answer from you. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, and we're taking up the second part of verse 5. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Everybody's got to make this decision for themselves and decide. Is Jesus God? Is he going to be the one that rules my life? Is he going to be the one that I bow to? Is he going to be the one that I obey no matter what? Is he the one that's going to receive my spirit and soul when I leave this life? We have to make a choice, saint, and no one can make it for you. Not your mother, not your father, not your grandparents. Not even your pastor. This is something you must do. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You have to make up your mind, and then you have to choose to stick with it. You should have solid conviction concerning your choice, the kind of conviction that does not sway or retreat in the heat of battle. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Everybody can find it. It's the last one. Revelation chapter 2. We're going to Revelation chapter 2. Amen? And we're going to begin at verse 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, not to him that fails to overcome, him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If you overcome, he will do this for you. Let's go to verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. That's important. It's important not to be hurt by the second death. It's extremely important. Let's go to verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. You see, there are blessings that come as a result of enduring to the end. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Amen? There are important blessings that come when you obey God. Let's go to chapter 3 and verse 12. Chapter 3 and verse 12. I'll start at 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast. Hold on to what you have, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. You see, God has plans for us if we'll hang in there till the end. In order for this to be so, we must learn and practice how to go forward continually with him as our leader. We must first love the Lord. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We must first love the Lord. Verse 21. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Amen. I'm going to start, though, with verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So we have to love the Lord above money and above riches and above material things, because he says the love of money is the root of all evil. He didn't say money was the root of all evil. The love of money is the very root of all evil, he said. So we have to choose what's most important to us, whether it's money or whether it's God. No one can choose this for us. We must each decide. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to begin with verse 6. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in Jesus Christ. Walk in the Spirit. Do the things that God says to do. Excuse me. Amen. Walk in the Spirit and obey God. Give him your heart, your soul, your body, your mind. Withhold nothing from him that he's asked for. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen. So we thank you, Father. We must keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, the mind of Christ, the mind that you have. You have to do this. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That we've given direct instructions. Set your affection, set your mind and heart on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead to this world, but you're supposed to be alive to God. That's what happens. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That's what God's looking for us to do. Get our minds off of everything that's going on down here all the time. All we do is, and the news says, and the news says, and the computer says, and we have to, and stop. Place our minds on the Lord. He's the one giving us directions. You're not going to find your directions going like this. That thumb will not do it for you. Sorry. The thumb won't get it. You can do this all day and night. You won't get your directions. Your directions are between Genesis and Revelation, prompted by his Spirit. Amen? Amen. Very good. Now we know where to look. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Could you get me some water out of that? Because this stuff didn't taste good. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. So we're told, quite frankly, put your eyes on Jesus. It's just as plain as day, looking unto Jesus. Put your eyes on him. Consider him, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. Put your eyes on Jesus and keep them there. So we must know that Jesus is worthy of us serving him as God. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Amen. Galatians comes right before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to verse 9. I'm going to start at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool out of God. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool out of him. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh or to his self shall reap of the flesh corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't say this is getting tiresome to me. It's not. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So we have to see that Jesus is worthy of us serving him. It's a decision of the heart, saints. It's a decision of the heart and mind. We have to come to the place that we want to give ourselves to him completely. It's a journey, but we at some point must arrive at the place where he's everything to us. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition or destruction, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We go all the way with Jesus. We're not in this just when it's convenient. We're here for whatever appears to be good and for whatever appears to be bad to us. We're here for the long haul. We didn't plan to get on this and be fair weather friends. No, we're in it forever. We're in this love forever. We must place ourselves into the Lord's hand to keep us faithful to him. Let's go to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. Here. In verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wing. So God will keep us if we allow him to, but we must give ourselves to him for that to happen. Let's flip over to Psalm 26. Psalm 26, verse 1. Psalm 26, verse 1, and we're beginning at the second part of that scripture. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide or waver. I've trusted him. I've given him full trust and confidence. Therefore, I won't slide backwards. Amen. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins, my emotions, and my heart. Try me. See what's in me, Lord. Jude 24. Jude is that little page just before the book of Revelation. Jude 24. And it states, now unto him that is able. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. It says he's the one who is able to keep you from falling. So you must surrender you to him to keep from falling. You must surrender yourself to the Lord so that he can keep you from falling. You have to obey him so that he can keep you from falling. You must listen to him so that he can keep you from falling. You must trust him so that he can keep you from falling. And he will present you faultless. Faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He desires to do this. But will you give yourself to him so that he can? We must hide the scripture in our hearts, Psalm 119. We must hide the scripture in our hearts. We're going to verse 9. We're on our way there. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man or young woman cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How do we have a clean life before God? We pay attention to what he says in the Bible and we do it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You see, I've given my heart to seeking God. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in my heart. It did not say in the glove compartment. It said in my heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, not in the back of the drawer in the bureau next to the bed. It says, thy word have I hid in my heart, not on the counter next to the refrigerator. Amen. Not on that table in the living room, you know, where you got it all out so when company comes, they can see it. No. In my heart. I put it in there on purpose so I won't lose it. I know where it is at all times. It's with me. It's in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. I've done enough where you had to die and bleed. I don't want to keep doing those things over and over again. I want to stop that. I want to do the right thing now. Let's go to verse 165. We're still in Psalm 119. Verse 165. Now I'm going to start at verse 162. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil, like I found a treasure. I'm so excited. Yes, I am. I rejoice at thy word. I hate and abhor lying. I hate lying. I don't just dislike it. I hate it. But thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Great peace have they which love thy law. You want great peace? Love his word. Love it. Love it more than you love yourself. You want great peace? It's easy to get. Love his word. And nothing shall offend them. Nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Highlight that. Nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hope for thy salvation. And here's the great part. And done thy commandment. I didn't just hope for salvation. I did what you said. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly, Lord. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. I did what you said. You said turn left, I turn left. You said turn right, I turn right. I did not disobey you, Lord. We need to have that testimony. It's important to have that testimony. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. It's important to have that testimony. Oh, Lord, I did what you said to do. I believe there was some king in the Bible, and they told him he was going to die. The prophet said, get ready to die. And he turned his face to the wall. And he cried out to God, I did, and Lord, and I've done, and I've lived for you. And the Lord said, okay, I'll extend your life. Everybody in ICU can't say that. Everybody in the critical care unit cannot say that. Isn't it amazing when they tell you that you've got cancer that you can turn to the wall and say, but Lord, I've lived for you. Can you do that? You got to be able to do that. There is a day that you're going to need to be able to say to God, but Lord, I obeyed you. I lived my life for you. I poured out my life doing what you told me to do. I need you to save my life right now. Can you say that to the Lord? Let's go visit verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Why? Because the word of God is in the heart. Not the coffee table, the heart. Not in that trunk grandmother had that we put in the back bedroom underneath that quilt. In the heart. It's important where you have the word of God. It's got to be in your heart. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Peter. Not a big book, so you got to go slow unless you pass it. You run right past it. 2 Peter. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. You pick at me one more time, and I'm going to tell Jesus on you. If I quit going so fast, I can slow down and get it. Okay, you read it to me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained life's precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ.
That one? Yeah, that one. That one. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There's something in heaven waiting on you to arrive. Please do what it takes to get there. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Kept, protected by the power of God through faith. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through various temptations, that the trial of your faith, yes, your faith is going to be tried, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now, ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end or the outcome of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. God is saying that you're kept by him. You have an inheritance. It's sitting in heaven waiting for you. There's some things you cannot receive from God down here. You're not going to get them till you get to heaven. But they're glorious, and they're wonderful, and they're great and mighty. Don't give it up. There's nothing down here worth all of that. There is nothing down here worth giving up that. Yes, your faith is going to be tried, but it's going to be tried so you can see what it's made of, if it's a real thing or if you're just faking it. It's going to be tried, because if you've got the real stuff, it's going to show up. And it's going to be convincing to somebody who's looking at your example. If you've got the real thing, somebody wants to know that something is real about all these people going to church. Somebody needs to see it and know it. So you have to have tried. Or else your family is going to say, well, you know, they're religious. They just go to church all the time, talk about Jesus, and ain't nothing to that. You've got to have trial so that your coworkers won't say, they think they're better than us because they go to church. No, you've got to have trials so they can see that it's not you, it's Jesus in you. That's why we don't complain. We rejoice evermore. Why? Because then God's going to be seen. You remember how Clark Kent used to run around with his business tie on and his white shirt and his eyeglasses, looking like he was a regular businessman. And then all of a sudden, when the need arose, he pulled back his shirt and his big S was sitting there. Well, if you don't have any trial, there'll be no pulling back of your shirt so they can see Jesus sitting there. That's what you got to do. You got to look at it the right way. Something's got to happen. So all of a sudden, you run into the phone booth and Jesus pops out. That's what it's got to be like. And I don't want to go through this again. Never mind that. Somebody's looking for Jesus. And they got to see him. So that means something's got to happen to send you back in your prayer closet. So when you open your shirt, they see Jesus. That's the way it works. You don't need a phone booth. They don't even make them anymore. You need a prayer closet. Amen? That's why we go through. That's why. We need to get rid of vain and demonic thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5, you know what I'm going to say. Some of you can quote it as well as I do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. I'm going to start at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. I don't have a tank painted in my favorite colors, driving them down the street, playing gunner from behind the gun. Sorry, that's not how we do it here. We leave that to some other people. They have a base here in town, and they do it that way. But we don't do it that way. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Mighty through God. What does mighty through God mean? It means that when we do what he says in warfare, his power comes to reign on the situation, and we get his result. That's what mighty through God means. It means the same power that made the whole world comes to rest on the situation, and his will comes forth, not our own. That's what mighty through God means. To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, you know, that lie up in your head, that thing, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Everything that comes against the scriptures, that and bringing into captivity, okay, handcuffs, jail cell, every thought, handcuff every thought, put it in a jail cell. Every thought, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Make them bow to the name of Jesus. Make them bow. Make them. You can. Thoughts or spirits. You can make them bow. We know what Philippians 4:8 says because we memorized it during the fast, so we don't have to go there. Let's go to James 4. For those of you who missed that, that was Philippians 4:8. You can memorize it if you would like. That would be a blessing to you. James 4:14. James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings or arrogance. All such arrogance is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We shouldn't be so presumptuous. We just assumed we were just going down the street of life, just knowing everything. We were going to have football season and this and that, and just like we always do. Surprise. Yeah. Things have changed. Amen. We must receive correction and reproof. What does that mean? Told that we are wrong and in sin, and we need to receive it when we're told. We don't need to get a huffy little attitude there. God is watching, and he doesn't appreciate huffy little attitude. That's not supposed to be part of what we do. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 5. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening or discipline of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Yes, God chastens, he disciplines, he rebukes his children. Yes, he does. For whom the Lord chasteneth and scourgeth. Did you see that? He chastens. You get spankings in Christ? Yes. Yes, it's right on the page. See it? Every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. You're his. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Well, there isn't. That means everybody gets it. Mm-hmm. But if ye be without chastisement, you never get a licking for what you did. Whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards or illegitimate and not sons. If you're his, when you do wrong, sooner or later, you find out about it. If you're his, if you actually belong to him, sooner or later, when you do wrong, you're going to find out about it. And he's not going to hesitate to let you know. Amen. Yes, he does have a woodshed. He knows what to do there. Amen. I'm going to go here, and I'm not telling you where I'm going because I don't want you to follow me. Just listen. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Yes, God gives spankings, and he takes away privileges, to tell you the truth. I know people don't believe that, but he does. He has the right to. He's God. Psalm 141 and verse 5. I'm going to start with verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Help me to close my big mouth sometimes. Incline not thy heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall also shall be in their calamities. In other words, let the righteous, let the people of God correct me. It'll keep me from falling. It'll keep me from backsliding. It'll keep me from hurting myself with sin and possibly someone else. So let them correct me. I won't get an attitude and go home and pout for 6 months. I'll come right back to church and smile and say thank you because I needed it. I won't get an attitude. I won't get an attitude. I won't act like I don't appreciate them being kind when they came up to me and said, sister, you shouldn't be cussing. That's a spirit of blasphemy. I'm not going to say, who them old women are, think they telling me what it. No, I'm not going to take that attitude. Amen. I'm going to repent. Yes. Thank you for telling me. Yes. I grew up doing this. My whole family does this. Yes. I thought this is how you did it. No, sister, let me cast that spirit right out of you right now. And then go home clean. Or you can be stiff-necked and hard-headed and pull the shoulder. I ain't going back to that church. They think they're so good they tell people they can't cuss. You got a choice. You have to decide how you're going to respond to God. In Proverbs 28, verse 13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them It doesn't just say confess them. It says confess and forsake them. That means you walk off. You turn your back on that sin, and that's the end of that. But whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth or is respectful always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. So you get a stubborn, hard-headed attitude, you're going to get in trouble. That's what that says. God isn't playing. He means business all the time. Luke chapter 9. We got to change. We can't just stay the same. So you said, okay, Jesus, I came to you, and you thought you were going to sit down and just stay the same. That's not what he calls for. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 23, he said to them all, and he's saying it to you too, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Every single day, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what Jesus said. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? What's the point? You have this whole island and this great big palatial mansion on it, and you go straight to hell the minute you die. What's the point to that? Man. You've got a boat, a yacht, they call them, I think, and it's as long as a city block. But when you die, you take a breath and enter into hell. What's the point to that? You own business in every country in the world. You've got more money than anybody can count. But the minute you take your last breath, those demons that have lived in you all that time drag your soul right into hell. What's the point to that? No, he that has the most toys does not win. Hell lasts for a long time. It lasts for all eternity. Life is short and brief. It's a vapor. It's here now and gone tomorrow. But eternity doesn't ever end. So you're going to have it all right here and now. And then for the rest of eternity, you're going to be tormented in hell. Because that's what hell is. It's a place of eternal torment. It was meant for Satan and his angels, not people. But people, for some reason, have a tendency to want to play with God. They want to trifle with Jesus Christ. They want to tell him, no, you didn't really mean what you said and what you did. I can get away with this. And at the last minute, I'm going to make it in by the skin of my teeth. I got news for you. Look at your teeth. There's no skin on them. Amen. If you've got teeth, there's no skin on them. If you bought teeth, there's no skin on them either. You're not getting in by the skin of your teeth or anything else. Either you came clean, you receive Jesus Christ, you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you live for him, or you are going to walk your own self into hell. He won't have to send you there. In fact, the Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself to receive. It had to swell up and spread out so many people wanted to go. Barbecue's supposed to be cooked on a pit. You're not supposed to be the barbecue. Amen? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. My, you're too ashamed to own Jesus now. He won't own you later. Some people don't believe hell is real, but unfortunately they're going to get the privilege of finding out. I feel so sorry for them because I'm surely trying to talk them out of that. I'm trying to convince them there is a better way. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, or selfish, and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Amen?
Amen.
There is no respect of persons with God. Saints, we have to move from our point of view of our lives to God's point of view. And you can just listen. I'll turn to these scriptures. You can write down their location and look them up when you get home. Isaiah 55 and verse 9. I'm starting with verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. See, 2 Corinthians 10:5 again. You get to pull those thoughts down. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and breaketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void or without result, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God says we don't look at things from his point of view. We look at things from our own little viewpoint, and we need to change. We need to seek him. We need to change. There are a lot of things we need to do, but we're going to consider. All right, I'll go there. We're going to consider what we've been doing. The Bible tells us that we should consider our ways. We should consider what we've been doing. We ought to consider what we've been doing. And we need to remember that God has a point of view that's not our point of view. We need to surrender ourselves to him so he can keep us from falling. We need to turn ourselves over to Jesus Christ. Some of us need to ask him to save our souls. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Hold on to the faith you do have. Don't let it go. Yes, they're doing every kind of thing in the world you never imagined that anybody could do and call themselves a Christian. But hold on to the faith that you do have and don't let go. It's worth holding on to, saints. It's worth it not to fail God. We must remember to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not into our own understanding. We need to acknowledge him in all of our ways so that he can direct our path. We should not be wise in our own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to our navel and marrow to our bones. We should honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. So our barns will be filled with plenty and our presses shall burst out with new wine. We're called not to despise the chastening of the Lord, neither to be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the person that findeth wisdom and the person that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for the benediction. Amen. I think we can say we heard from heaven today. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor loves you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, I want to say, thank God for the word today.